before a person can build a house in the suburbs, there are certain building codes that have to be followed. And theoretically, those building codes are designed to ensure that the house building structure is strong and safe and it'll last for years to come. Sometimes it seems like the building codes get carried away sometimes and they expect things that are unreasonable, but they're designed for a purpose, to be a help. And way back in Bible times, before official building codes existed, there were certain common sense building codes that everybody knew. And then fathers would pass it on to their sons, and the uncles would pass it on to their nephews, and all they just pass on this the common sense building codes that there's certain things you do and don't do, or your house is going to fall down. And Jesus used this common sense building codes of his day to illustrate some important truths in our text this morning. And so let's read. You follow along as I read from chapter 7 of Matthew, beginning with verse number 24. Beginning with verse number 24. Therefore, Jesus is speaking here. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these things, sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon it, that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these things, that the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. As we look at this this section that Jesus is describing for us here, I find here four points to God's building code that can lead us to a strong spiritual life. Now that's what we want. You know, this picture of building a house, the Apostle Paul used that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He talked about each of us building a house. And there he talked about building with wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, precious stone, building the blocks of your house to make it strong. And Jesus is using the same kind of an illustration here, that we need to build our lives on what is right. And we need to build upon a rock. And Jesus Christ, of course, is the rock that we need to build upon. We need to have our lives built upon Christ. But we ask ourselves, well, how do we do that? And he's got some certain building codes here that he tells us that will help us. Four points I want us to notice. First of all, that is that Jesus illustrated God's building code here with these verses. Now think about what he's telling us here. Jesus tells us here about a wise man, and to build his house on a rock. So one guy, he goes out and he says, I'm going to build a house. He was a wise man. He thought about what his fathers had taught him and his uncles had taught him and others around that were wise people. They said, you know, if you're going to have a house that lasts, you need to dig down until you hit rock and lay a foundation and, you know, get those. It's not easy. It doesn't necessarily mean that he went out to some flat mountainside. They had a big rock out there and he built his house on that big old rock out on the mountainside. Now, it could have been. But it doesn't necessarily mean that, because if you dig down deep enough, many places you'll hit rock. And then you lay the foundation. With us, we'd pour concrete on that rock and build it all up. In those days, they probably just took other stones and built a solid stone foundation and built it all up. It takes a lot of work. But he did that. He went through the big process of laying his house foundation on the rock. And then he built his house on top of that. And Jesus said he was a wise man. And Jesus says there that he was wise because he heard and he did what he knew was right. He had heard others telling him, you know, build on a rock, that's the only way. And he did what he was told. So he heard and did. And so Jesus said that man was a wise man. The storms came, the storms of life. You know, life is full of storms. And when he's comparing this to building our lives, life is full of storms. You know, our church has gone through a lot of storms in the last 6 months. A lot of storms. And there's more storms on the horizon, no doubt. Some of you are still in the midst of storms. And the wind is blowing and things are, you know, threatening to cave in all around us. God says, you build on a rock and you will be a wise person and your house will stand. But then he tells us about the foolish man. foolish man said, I can't be bothered. It's too much work to dig down to that rock. Think of all that work and all that labor, digging all that dirt out, reaching down to that rock. And then there's all that work of carrying all those rocks in here and building the foundation on the rock. Oh, that's a lot of work. That sounds like, I'd take weeks to do that. I don't want to do that. So he just builds on the sand. He said, it'll be fine. Lots of people have done it before. I'll just build on the sand. I know, Grandpa and Dad and everybody else says, no, build on the rock. Ah, I don't want to do that. They're just old-fashioned. I don't want to follow the rules. And so he doesn't obey. He knew, but he didn't obey. He didn't do what they told him to do. He builds his house, beautiful house. So both these men have their beautiful houses. Maybe they were neighbors. The big storm comes. Gigantic storm comes through the area. The floods come. The waters rage. There swarms around the house. And the house on the rock, it stood solid. But the house in the sand, it crumbled. The foundation was eaten out from under it. It fell into a heap, and he lost everything. And so Jesus gives this illustration here to illustrate God's building code. He says, if you want to do it right, you need to do what God says. God says, listen and obey. Listen and obey. Listen and obey. And he says, that will allow you to build on a solid rock. Now, the second point I find here is that God's code is rooted in his words. It's rooted in his words. Notice there, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these words of mine, or these sayings of mine. The word therefore sends us back to the spoken words that he said before that. Now, what did he just say? Now, this passage, you may be familiar. What do we call Matthew 5, 6, and 7? There's a name for that. What is it? The Sermon on the Mount. All right, so this is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is preaching 5, 6, and 7. That's all one sermon. And he's telling them all kinds of things that they need to do in order to please God. And he gives us this information to help us. This Sermon on the Mount is there to teach and instruct us and to guide us. Now, some of the things that he mentioned in this Sermon on the Mount. Now, I'm not going to go through all of it. It'd take a long time to preach the whole thing. But let me highlight a few things, and you might even note them. But in chapter 5 and verse 13, Jesus spoke of being like salt, making life taste better for those around us. He said, we will be like salt. We will make life taste better for other people around us. He said, that's what we need to do. Then chapter 5, verse 17, he says we're to be like light, shining for God's glory. My life, your life, needs to be a light that shines for God's glory. You know, you ask yourself this past week, has your life shined for God's glory? People that saw the way you acted, lived, responded, and all that, did God get glory from that? Did it shine out for His glory? You know, this morning I was reading Psalm 19. It talks about the heavens declare the glory of God. That you look up in the sky and all those twinkly stars and the vastness of it all, it makes us sit back and marvel at the greatness of God. God said, I want people to be able to do that when they look at your life. He said, let your light so shine before men that they would say, wow, what a great God he's got. Even in hard times, he does what is right. Then he tells us in 5:23 and 24 that we must reconcile with men before we can worship God. He said, if you want to worship God, you need to get right with others first. If you know that somebody's not happy with you, you need to go talk to them, sort it out, reconcile with them before you can come back and talk to God and get things, you know, worship God. So he says it's important that we keep that order right. So Jesus tells us that. Then he said in chapter 5, verse 28, he said that looking with lust is adultery in the heart. It's particularly talking to us men. It's hard. We live in a lustful world. Everywhere you look, there's women that don't wear enough clothes, and your eye catches that, and thoughts go through your mind. And Jesus said, if you look at that with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery already in your heart, and adultery was breaking one of the Ten Commandments. He says, that's not right. We need to guard ourselves. And that goes for the ladies, too. You need to dress so that you're not causing men to look like that, or you're just as guilty as they are. He tells us in chapter 5, verse 44, that we're to love our enemies. Now, loving your friends is one thing. That's not too hard. But loving your enemies is another story. But remember, love is giving of yourself to meet the needs of another, expecting nothing in return. He's not talking about you need to go up to your enemies and give them a big hug and a kiss and say, I really love you. No, he's not talking about that. He said, love is showing them genuine love by giving and sharing with them. You can love people that you don't even like. That's why he said we're to love our enemies. He didn't say change them from enemies to friends. He said love your enemies. And that takes discipline, takes work. But Jesus said that was what we're supposed to do. In chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, he said that we're to forgive others before God will forgive us. He said, if you don't forgive somebody else, I'm not going to forgive you. Whew, that's pretty serious. Next time we come to God and say, God, I did wrong. Would you please forgive me? God says, sorry, not this time. You got to go forgive them first. But if we don't, God says, I'm not going to forgive you. So, very serious things. Jesus is telling them lots of things that are very important. Chapter 6 and verse 20 and 21, God tells us that we're to lay up our treasures in heaven rather than on earth. He says, instead of storing up all your treasures here on earth and living for the things of this life, he says, live for heaven. Store up treasures in heaven. How do we do that? How do you send, you know, I've got $100 to send to God in heaven. Well, there's different ways. One way we could give to the Lord through offerings of the church. That's one way. But also, we can store up rewards in heaven as treasures in heaven. God's going to reward us for how we live. If you live a life for His glory, you're storing up treasures in heaven, because when you get to heaven, He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that well done is treasures. That is valuable. And if you don't think so, you will think so when you stand before God. If God says to you, sorry, no treasures for you, no rewards for you, I've got nothing but rebuke. You are not faithful. You are lazy and didn't serve me. And we're like, oh, you know. Those are treasures in heaven. So he says, lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Then in chapter 6 and verse 33, he says, we're to seek first the kingdom of God and to trust Him to take care of us. He said, all the things that the world worries about, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to live? What am I going to do? All those things that people worry about and fret about and get sick over. He says, don't worry about that stuff. I will take care of you if you put me first. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness and all these things I will add unto you. I'll take care of you. Then just before the text of our morning reading, we see in verses chapter 7 and verse 21 to 23, he tells us some very sobering words. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So Jesus said here, not everybody that says, I'm a Christian, is a Christian. Not everyone that says, I love God, loves God. Not everyone that says, I know you, Lord, you know me. Jesus said, I don't know you. Oh, he knows who they are, but he doesn't know them personally. There's no relationship. And so Jesus is laying all this foundational work. And he went through and told them all these things. And then he gets to verse 24. He says, therefore, based on all of that, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, he is like unto a wise man. So, Jesus here was building a foundation. And he said that all that he had said was preparation for what we were to do, how we were to respond. The third point that follows is that God requires us to hear His words. Hear His words. You know, the two men that built their house on the sand and on the rock, they had heard their fathers. I mean, in those days especially, it was very important to pass down to your kids and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren how to do the various things so they could continue on with life. This is how you build a house. This is how you do it. And, you know, even I remember in Papua New Guinea, those guys that would build their houses, if I was to try to build a bush house, I'd be able to put some kind of a shack up, but it wouldn't be near as good as theirs. They knew how to do it. They had experienced that. They knew how to cut the posts. They knew how to put them in the ground. They knew how to weave the bamboo to make the walls. They knew how to weave the grass to make their roof so it wouldn't leak. And how did they know that? Well, Dad taught me. And Granddad taught me. And all my uncles taught me. And we've learned that. So these men knew what was right. So Jesus said, you need to hear in order to be able to know how to respond. Hearing is the key. And the only way Jesus' words can help anybody is if they first hear them. Now you think about that. If you had never heard anything from the Bible, a lot of our people in our community have never read the Bible. They know nothing about God. They don't know Jesus' words. Now it doesn't mean they're innocent for not doing what's right, But the truth of the matter is, it's pretty hard to do something you don't know. It's pretty hard to know that I've got to, or pretty hard to do what is pleasing to God if I don't know how to please God. But Jesus said, the first thing you got to do is hear. You got to hear. And we are not, you know, we weren't there when Jesus was teaching that. But we can read it in the Bible. We can read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 in the Scriptures. And we can hear what He said. And we can hear the instructions He gave. And that can help us. You know, you can also hear the Word through coming to church. You know, we're just starting out the new year. It's amazing how fast things go. It just seems like we just started last year. It's all over already. But, you know, we're starting out a new year. One of the best things you can do is just determine in this new year, I'm going to attend church faithfully. I'll be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I'm going to start going Wednesday. And I'm going to get involved. And that'll be a great thing. That's why we have it, so we can hear. You know, my job as a pastor isn't just to, you know, fill in your time. But it's to give you stuff to think about, to hear the Word of God. And it's my responsibility to let you know those Scriptures. You know, a preacher that doesn't feed you the Word isn't doing what he's supposed to do. I'm supposed to feed the Scriptures. I'm explaining the Scriptures to you so that you can hear it, and then the responsibility is on your shoulders. So we need to hear it. You know, hearing alone, though, is not sufficient. Many people know much about the Bible, but it never changes their lives. And they know about God. They know what God says about anger and about forgiveness and about lust and about putting God first and about dealing with sin and reconciling with others. They know those things. I mean, there's heaps of religious people that have read some of the Bible or heard somebody talk a little bit about the Bible. It's not like they're ignorant, but it's not just what they've heard. In the previous verses, Jesus spoke of many who called Him Lord. But on Judgment Day, He said, I didn't know you. I never knew you. You didn't know me. You knew about me. The devils know about Him and tremble. But that's not going to save him. Just knowing who Jesus is and what He said is not sufficient. It's not about just hearing. Although hearing is the key. If you don't hear, you don't know. So you have to hear first. God requires, fourthly, that we do His words. That we do His words. You know, we need to hear the Scriptures. And I hope that you have established by this point in your Christian life a regular daily Bible time with God. If you haven't, it's critical. You need that. This is really important. There needs to be a time when you spend alone with God every day, where you read the Bible. And I've got some Bible reading schedules. I've got one in my bag there. If you haven't got one, that'll get you started. But you need to spend time every day reading the Bible and asking God to teach you, help you to learn, help you to grow. Because if you just read the Bible once a week or once every other week, or just when you come to church, you're not going to grow. You're not going to become a strong Christian. You're not going to know what God wants you to do. And you're not going to be able to do it because you need to spend that time with Him. So I challenge you. Dig into the Word. But then here, He says we are required to do His words. Both of these men, the wise man and the fool, had heard the truth. You know, the wise man and the fool both heard what others said about their building codes. They knew. Somebody may have said to the foolish man as he's building his house, hey, didn't Grandpa teach you how to build a house? Yeah, the old man taught me how, but I don't believe that stuff. I'm going to do it my way. He heard, but he didn't know. He didn't do it. And they both had heard. The illustration here that Jesus gives us is that though they all heard, they didn't all do. And that's why Jesus was urging the people that were listening to Him. He says, listen, you have heard me preach. You've heard me to tell you what these things that I've said in this sermon and all the other things I'll say during my ministry and my life. You've heard that. But it's not just hearing it. You need to do it. You need to put it into your life and let it apply to your life. Let it change you. If you've attended our church for any time at all, you've heard many things from God's Word. I strive to explain and expound the Word of God regularly. So you've heard lots about the Bible that many other people have not heard. You know that Christ provided salvation for all who will repent of their sin and trust Him as their Savior. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." You know that. You know that Christ died on the cross to pay the debt of your sin. But if you've never received that, it hasn't done you any good. I trust you have. You know what God said about forgiveness and love and hate and bitterness and Bible reading and prayer and separation and reconciliation and children obeying and marital roles. And you know all those things that the Bible talks about. We've discussed it. I've covered lots of different topics. Our problem isn't so much ignorance or not hearing it, but our problem is that we don't always do it. And that's the hard part. And I'm just as guilty. You know, we know what is right, but we don't do what is right. And so God wants us to put it into practice. He wants us to do what we have heard. And so it's, the problem is seldom ignorance. All right, that's the big thing that I'm trying to get across here. And Jesus was emphasizing this. He says, it's not a matter of, you know, you're not hearing it. All of you folks, you just picture yourself out on the mountainside with Jesus. He's speaking to the thousands of people out on the mountainside. And they're talking to them and telling them all these things. And he says, it's not that you haven't heard. You do know. You know what the scriptures say. You know what the Old Testament says. You've read that. You've been to the synagogue. You've heard those things. You know those things. But he says, it's not about just what you hear. It's about what you do. And that emphasis is upon us as well. The key to the building code was obedience. And Jesus clearly stated that hearing was not enough. The Apostle James, remember over there in the book of James, chapter 1, one of the key passages. Let's just flip over there. I want you to see this. James chapter 1, and look at beginning with verse number 22. James chapter 1, beginning with verse number 22. He says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." He said, when we look in the scriptures, it's like looking in a mirror, in God's mirror. And we say, yeah, I've got some problems. I can see the dirt. I can see some problems. I got to fix some of those things. And so he says, we see the issues. But he says, if we walk away and we do nothing about it, we're deceiving ourselves. He says, if you see the issues, you've got to respond. James here was echoing the words of Jesus that he taught in this text. It's all about obeying what we've heard. Perhaps the foolish builder laughed at the wise builder. You can just imagine the two of them out there. Maybe their houses are within sight of each other. And the foolish man's up there working on his house. And, man, I'm working on the roof already. He's still digging in the ditch. He's still down there digging up, down to get to the rock. What a fool. Hey, I'm almost done. I'm going to be able to live in my house. This is going to be great. And the other guy, and the wise man's down there digging in his, foundation ditches around his house and all that work and sweat and carrying all those rocks and building it all up and getting it ready and laying down that hard clay and packing it down and getting it. It was a lot of work. And he's saying, "Well, this isn't easy, but this is the right way to do it." That guy over there, he's almost done. I wish I was almost done, but he'll be sorry someday. And the fool's over there saying, "Yeah. What a nut. Look at all the work he's doing. I'll be fine. It'll be fine." And there's loads of people in our world today just like that, saying, "I'll be fine." You know, I can't tell you how many times I've knocked on somebody's door. So I'm from the Northside Baptist Church, and I'd just like to give you an opportunity to, you know, take a little paper here and tell you how I can go to heaven. "Ah, should be right, mate. I'm fine. We're okay. they're like the fool up in his house, laughing at the other guy saying, "We're doing fine, leave us alone. We don't need to hear that stuff. We're okay." One day the judgment's going to come. The house is going to crash. And they're going to say, "Why didn't I listen? Why didn't I listen?" Each day that you and I go through, we are building our lives. Neither you nor I are an exception to the rule. We've got to follow the rule. The rule is, God's building code says, obey, hear and do. Hear and do. Hear what the way is and do it. And he says, if you don't hear it and do it, it's going to come crashing down. And we can't escape that. If we do not build on the obedience to God's word, one day the storms of life and the judgment of God's word will come down upon us and our house will come crashing down. You read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as I mentioned earlier, he says that the day of judgment, God's going to burn your house and my house to the ground with his fire of his eyes. Just one look at us, and the flame of his judgment will burn our house to crisp, and the only thing left will be the gold, silver, and precious stone that we built with. All the things that we built of wood, hay, and stubble, gone. For some, the house will stand mostly solid. Just a brick of wood, hay, and stubble here and there disintegrated. For others, it's only two or three bricks of gold, silver, and precious stone. The rest of it's all wood, hay, and stubble. And gone. And he said, some will be saved, yet so as by fire. Nothing more tragic than to have someone's house catch on fire at night. And it burns to the ground. And the only thing they saved was their pajamas that they had on when they ran outside. Everything else got burned down. Saved, yet so is with fire. The smell of smoke on them, standing there in their pajamas, watching their house burn to the ground. So it will be on judgment day for many people. They'll stand before God. The fire of God's judgment comes upon them, burned to a crisp. Saved, yes. If they knew the Lord as their Savior, saved, yet so is by fire. Everything gone. A wasted life. And Jesus is warning us here, not because he's trying to be unkind, but he's trying to be loving. He said, I've just preached all this stuff to you. You've heard it with your ears. But he says, now you need to do it. If you don't do it, it'll all come falling down. So he was urging them, put it into practice, do these things so that it won't come crashing down someday. We need to ask ourselves these questions. Am I sure that I have obeyed God's word regarding salvation from hell? Nothing's more important than that. Make sure that you've obeyed. What does the scripture say? They say to repent of our sin and put our faith and trust in Christ. You can know that, but if you don't put it in practice, it's not going to help you. He says, make sure. Make sure you're building on the rock. Am I living my daily life in full obedience to God's word? Nobody knows your life better than you do. Nobody knows my life better than I do. We need to ask ourselves, how am I actually living? It's not about how am I letting people think I'm living. What does God really know about me? What does he really see about me? How am I living? When I stand before him on judgment day, his flames of fire of his eyes will burn out all the dross. He'll burn out all the wood, hay, and stubble. What will be left of my life? Am I controlling my lust and my anger and words and attitudes and bitterness and thoughts? And on and on. As God's word says, I must. Folks, it's mostly not about ignorance. I mean, we don't say, well, I didn't know it was wrong to lie. Or I didn't know it was wrong to cheat. Or I didn't know it was wrong to lust. No, we know that. But we still struggle. And I'm not heaping blame on you. I say we because we struggle. We struggle with the temptations of life. But God says here, we need to strive to do what's right, not only hear it, but do it. Because that's what's going to help us. It's not just about knowing, it's about doing. And am I obeying God's word regarding my Bible reading and prayer and witnessing and parenting and loving my spouse and being the godly example that God wants me to be? If not, I'm building on the sand. And God wants us to build on the rock. Jesus Christ is the rock. His word is the rock. It's the foundation. We can trust it. So this morning, folks, my challenge is that we will be like the wise man, not like the fool. Each of us in this room, without any exceptions, are either like the wise man or the fool. There's no other choice. Either we're building on the rock, striving to please God with our life, or we're building in the sand like a fool, and one day it's going to all come crashing down. And Jesus here is urging us to not be a fool, but to build on the rock. Life is cruel, and giving account to the Creator will be fearful. It's not too late to become a wise person. That's the great thing. It's not too late to be wise. And just this morning, as I was pondering over wisdom, the scriptures tell us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we're going to be wise, we've got to fear God. Fear God more than we fear others. Fear God more than we fear our family. Fear God more than we fear our workmates. We need to say, I don't care what anybody else says, I'm going to do what God said. They may laugh at me, they may think I'm stupid, doesn't matter. I'm going to fear God and do what God wants, because God's the one I answer to, not them. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you're going to be wise, you're going to have to fear God. Put God first and just say, God, I want to do what you want me to do. I'm going to be wise. I need your wisdom. And simply hearing the Bible, what the Bible says, and then obeying it, God says, that will make us wise. Hear and obey, and we'll be wise. So this morning, if you look at your life and you say, I've heard lots of things, but I'm not obeying like I ought, then today's the day to begin. There's no time like right now to say, that's enough. We're going to have a change. I'm going to start doing what God said. We're going to make some major changes. I'm going to obey God. And let him have his way. God will bless you if you do that. God will help you. You don't have to remain a fool if that's where you've been. And each of us, the struggles, even if you're mostly doing what's right and you're mostly being the wise person, we still, every now and then, we get careless and we build it with a foolish block once in a while. And we need to make sure that we're constantly striving to build like God wants us to build on the solid rock of his word.